Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd bless us now, that you'd meet with us, help me to use the time and wisely today. I pray, God, that you would do in the next 30 minutes what I can't do. Help me to do my part. And then, Father, I'll depend on you to do the rest. And bless us now. Holy Spirit, control my mind, my thinking. Help me to say nothing that would hinder the cause of Christ. Help me to promote Thee, magnify Thee, uplift the Bible, uplift the principles of the Bible. Help us now. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you today about the topic of marriage. And I want you to listen very carefully. I don't want you to open your Bibles. I'll use the King James Bible. I'll read much scripture. But I want you to look this way. I cannot beg for your attention. You'll have to give it to me out of character. The book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 21, I'll read to you a few scripture. The Bible says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The first thing I'll say today is to protect myself from those of you that would leave here saying I said something that I did not say. God compares the husband-wife relationship to the relationship that's carried on between Christ and the church. There is no bride of Christ as of today. The church becomes his bride only after they're married. The marriage supper of the Lamb takes place after the marriage. That's a reception. Revelation chapter 19, verse number 7, talks to us about the marriage of the Lamb has come. The marriage of the Lamb takes place during the 7 years that follow the rapture. What I'm telling you is there's no such thing as what our liberal friends call the Baptist bride. A woman becomes a bride at the marriage, not before. Remember that marriage of the Lamb takes place after the rapture. Only then will we be his bride. At the rapture, all believers will form a called out assembly, called out of the world to meet the Lord in the air. The word church comes from a word ekklesia, which means a called out assembly. At that time, the rapture, right after the rapture, all saved people will become members of that called out assembly. That called out assembly then becomes his bride. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So God does indeed compare the relationship between a man and his wife to Christ and the church. The Bible says Christ gave himself for the church. One reason we have so many divorces today, so many catastrophes in marriage, is because people do not want to realize that they should be willing to die for their mate as Christ died for the church. You know, Christ died for the church. Let me ask you a question. Would you die for Christ? Someone said, well, anybody could die for Christ. The hard part's living for him. I beg to differ with you. I'd rather live any day than die. I would say man's basically that way. You had better marry someone who loves the church and loves Christ. You know, if your mate does not love Christ, what real training do they have to love you? They're to be willing to die for Christ, and they should be willing to die for you. I want to share with you some examples from history of people that had this characteristic, the characteristic that would produce a good marriage partner, willing to die for Christ. But Ohio said, you're not a martyr because you die for Christ, but you die for Christ because you're a martyr. In other words, martyrs are people that predetermine they'll die for the cause. They just didn't happen to die for the cause and got labeled a martyr. Some of you need to decide you're going to get into marriage and stay in. Predetermine that. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 4. Now you listen, and I want to give you some examples of the kind of character that's to be involved in this husband-wife thing. Revelation 20, verse 4. I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. Here are people that were beheaded for the cause of Christ. Revelation chapter 11, Romans chapter 11, verse number 1 says, And I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. Stephen was a man that was stoned to death for the cause of Christ. Acts chapter 7, verse 54 through 60, And when they had heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they gnashed on him with their teeth, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up and steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You ever thought about having that kind of commitment to a wife? Or to a husband? Lay not this sin to their charge. James, one of the sons of thunder, a son of Zebedee, the brother of John, was beheaded for Christ. Philip, born in Galilee, first ever to be called a disciple, was scourged with a whip, the cat of nine tails. 40, save one, imprisoned and then crucified. Matthew, the toll collector, the tax man. We find that Matthew was slain with a halberd. That's a two-sided axe, a great big circular type of a blade on both sides. They would take that axe, and it was an axe made for military purposes to split the helmet of a man open. Matthew had his head busted open with a razor-sharp sledgehammer. That's some commitment, isn't it? James, at the age of 94, was beaten and stoned, and his brains were beaten out with a fuller's club. That's a blacksmith's tool used to smash iron. James said in James 1, verse 3 and 6, Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Matthias took Judas's place and was stoned at Jerusalem and then beheaded. Some commitment. Huh? Andrew, the brother of Peter, was crucified on the cross. They laid his cross on the side as he was crucified. Mark, the convert of Peter, was dragged to pieces by people in the city of Alexandria. Peter was crucified upside down because they said, I am not worthy to die the same way my Savior died. 16 times in the book of Peter, Peter mentions the word suffering. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13, But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 12, he mentions the fiery trials. He said, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. What are those fiery trials? Nero would take Christians and place them on a platform in his flower garden, tie them to that platform about 12 foot above the garden, douse them in tar, and then set them afire, and make them human wicks to light the flower garden while his drunken whoremongers had their parties and wanted to examine the beautiful flowers lit by human bodies for light. Some commitment. Huh? Paul had his throat cut with a sword. He said in 2 Corinthians 1:5, For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Paul had a commitment to Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4 through 11. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers, as yet true, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, and having nothing, and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, and our heart is enlarged. Paul said, for when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side, with outward fightings, with inward fears. Paul had some commitment to the cause of Christ and to the church of Christ. Are you listening to me? The Bible says, a husband shall love his wife like Christ loved the church. And here are some men that show us how it's done. 2 Corinthians 11, Paul said, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Even when you don't get a new dress. Besides those things, they are without that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh. Jude was crucified. But he said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. He said, I'm going to fight for the church, and you ought to learn to fight for your marriage. Fight for that thing. Stand up and fight for that thing. Somebody's got to fight for marriage in America. Somebody's going to have to fight for marriages in fundamentalism. Somebody needs to fight for the marriage. And fight for their husband, and fight for their wife. Bartholomew was cruelly beaten and crucified. Thomas was thrust through with a spear by pagan priests. Luke was hanged on an olive tree. Simon was crucified. John, the beloved disciple, was boiled in a cauldron of oil. Died of old age, but he said, remember the words that I say unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Timothy rebuked some people for celebrating a pagan feast, and they beat him with clubs, and he died 2 days later from internal hemorrhaging. Ignatius, one that followed Peter as a bishop of Antioch, he was thrown to wild beasts. Peter said, I am the wheat of Christ. I'm going to be ground with the teeth of wild beasts that I may be found faithful. Ignatius said, I'd rather die for Christ than rule the whole earth. And I'd rather die for my wife than to rule the whole earth. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. He said, I think Jonah was a coward. Do you know anything about how they treated the preachers in Nineveh? It is said in Nineveh they would take a man. They would stick a spear in the ground. They would pick him up and set him on that spear and drive it through him like a human popsicle. They'd take razor sharp pieces of stone or glass and cut strips down the body, little slivers a couple of inches long, and grab it with a pair of pliers and strip a man of his flesh. No wonder Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. But he ended up going and preaching a great revival. He had a commitment to the cause of Christ. Some commitment. Huh? Polycarp. Marcus Aurelius sought his life. Finally, two of Aurelius' guards caught him. Polycarp said, May I pray before my destruction? They said, yes. He fell on his face before his God and prayed the power of God down to the point the men were struggling to get away from him because the power of God was so evident on his life. They wanted to leave him. They said, we want no part of having this man crucified. They took him on to be burned at the stake. They said, would you like to be nailed to the stake? And he said, the one who I am willing to die for will not have to worry about me running from the fire. Alexander was beaten with staves, torn with hooks, and burnt with fire. Theodora, a young, beautiful lady in Antioch, was commanded to sacrifice to a false god. She refused. They beheaded her and burned her body. And Acts 11:26 says they were called Christians first at Antioch. Some commitment. Some example of giving yourself for the cause of Christ. Saturnius refused to sacrifice to idols. He was fastened by the feet to a bull's tail, dragged by that enraged animal down the temple steps until his head was completely empty of its brains. Maxima Dantilia and Sectua, three women who would not deny Christ. They were forced to drink gall and vinegar. They were scourged, tormented on a gallows, rubbed with lime, scorched on a gridiron, pushed within inches of their death by a wild beast. Why? For the cause of the church and the cause of Christ. Quentin was stretched with pulleys until all of his joints were dislocated. He was beaten with wire scourges and boiled in oil. They covered his wounds with hot pitch and tar, and torches were placed in his armpits. Romanius, a deacon at the church of Caesarea, was scourged and put on a rack. His body was tore with hooks. They cut him with knives, and they took tools and actually, a little at a time, scraped all the skin from his face. They decided to torment him as much as they could, and they beat his teeth from their sockets one at a time, and he was strangled to death. They pulled out all his hair by the roots. Saturnius, a pastor in Africa, was tortured in prison, starved to death, and then all four of his children chose to follow. Bishop Basil's body was ordered to be torn into seven different parts. Some commitment. Huh. Ephesians 5:25 says, Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And many people have given us an example of what it's like to give yourself for the church. These people possessed the quality necessary to be a good mate and to stay a good mate. They were willing to die for Christ if necessary. If you had not died for Christ, who is perfect, you could not stay with or die for a man or woman who is imperfect. Romans chapter 5, verse 7 and 8 says, For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When you get married, realize who you're marrying in the first place, a sinner.
You just find the best sinner you can find and marry him. For better? For worse?
Don't say it at the altar. For richer? For poorer? And if you don't mean it, take it out of the vows. In sickness and in health. If you're a liar, fester, take it out of the vows. Don't say I do to what you don't. Love. Cherish. Obey. Honor. Till death. Till death. Till death. Till death. Not till you get sick and tired of the way he's acting. Not until he sleeps with somebody else. Till death. Till death. If you don't mean it, don't say it.
Many of you are unfit for marriage. You wouldn't die for Christ. You won't even live for him. Many of you who are married are marriage misfits. We need, for the sake of marriages in America, for somebody to have the character of a martyr. I'm staying married. I'll die to stay married. We dispose our mates like people throw things in the garbage can. Don't you get married with divorce as an option. We cut the word quit out of the dictionaries around here. It might be a good idea to cut the word divorce out of the dictionary. Same word. Let me talk to you about a little upper level Christianity for a second here. We'll leave the norm. Job chapter 13, verse number 15 says, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Few would die for Christ. Job said, I'd be willing to let him kill me. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it.